Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear a trailer from our friends Melissa and Mandy at the podcast Moms and Murder, a true crime show featuring two friends with original discussions on theories and controversies surrounding criminal cases. It's on our must-listen-to list, and we're sure y'all will enjoy Moms and Murder as well. Now on to the show.
The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
In September of 2005, New Zealand-based mobile phone service provider Plus SMS held its first annual meeting of shareholders and promised a strong future for the company. Plus SMS had a big idea to revolutionize the way globally branded products advertised. The details are quite mundane to the layperson, but to advertising executives and shareholders, the text messaging-based promotional tool was exciting. A way for these brands to reach potential consumers worldwide with the simplicity of a text, securing specific numbers that coincided with a company's actual name on a phone's keypad. An example would be this podcast securing the number 1-800-466-3265 or 1-800-GONE-COLD, though there'd be an extra 3 tagged on in our case. It might not have seemed like a huge deal to most. The practice of assigning a word to a phone number had been around since the 1960s, but to secure specific numbers on a provider's network was a big idea to guide them to Plus SMS, the company figured. And it would provide global product giants with the ability to use those digits, essentially their name and number form, for promotional texting. Like those ads you see telling you to text 817 to 5555, Plus SMS, of course, would be paid for each of these texts. The company had only started a year before by a man named Gary Donahue, and by the November following the shareholders' meeting, a month later, the market value of Plus SMS had risen to over $250 million after Donahue's announcement that he had secured hundreds upon hundreds of these numbers for use by global brands. A year later, though, it turned out that he had not secured nearly the amount of numbers he'd claimed, and the company began spiraling downward. Donahue stepped down from the board and relinquished his shares in the company. Donahue seems to have seen the event coming, because months earlier, in June 2006, Christopher Tench was brought in as chief executive of Plus SMS. Donahue had known Tench for a few years, and if anyone could mend the company's self-inflicted wounds, he was the guy. Christopher Robert Tench was born on January 19, 1968, the youngest child and only son of Rita and Richard Tench, German immigrants who moved to Texas in the early 1960s. He was a normal boy, his knees and elbows in a perpetual state of being scabbed over, and Chris's ingenuity was apparent at an early age, when he'd build forts using branches and limbs in the family's backyard. Chris grew up in a nice neighborhood just west of Houston, where he received some of his private schooling, but he attended a Florida Air Academy, where his athletic abilities were well recorded in the local paper. He was a district tennis champ and was on the varsity soccer team. Chris graduated from the Florida Air Academy in 1986 and went on to attend Stephen F. Austin University in Nacogdoches, Texas. He studied business and marketing and became the student body president. Chris also met a young woman there who he fell head over heels for, the president of the sophomore class, Danae, at an on-campus student government office. Danae was crazy about him all but immediately, too. She said of Chris, quote, "He had such a presence. He's such a strong leader. I remember he would walk into a room and everybody would go, 'There's Chris.' It's not an arrogance. He just knows who he is." He graduated in 1991 and moved to Austin, where he worked on a Senate campaign. Chris was a staffer at the state capitol there during the 1993 legislative session, working for Karl Rove and Associates, performing public relations tasks, and managing political campaigns. He and his college flame, Danae, were married on November 6th of that very year. Chris Tench's degree was in business and marketing, and though it could be argued that would serve him well in a career in politics and government, the work became more tedious than challenging, and he decided to call it quits at Rove & Associates after being one of the few selected for a young executive program at SBC Communications, a multinational telecommunications company that was previously known as Southwestern Bell. SBC took Chris and Danae to Dallas and then to St. Louis before finally landing them along with their young children in Europe in 1998. It wasn't long before Chris was ready for something new, and in 2001, he joined the Swiss-owned company BMD Wireless as a text message infrastructure specialist. He was a major asset to the company, and it is said that while he was employed there, he, quote, "basically invented the technology that allowed you, when we were in the stone age of cell phones and the text messages only went carrier to carrier, he allowed them to talk to each other," end quote. Chris was the chief executive officer at BMD by 2004, and though the company was bought out that year, he continued operating the business until 2006. The Tench family moved back to the United States in 2006, settling in Boulder, Colorado. Chris had done well financially, very well in fact, and he chose to concentrate on his children for a while, leaving the corporate world behind for a stint of fatherhood. Though raising children can indeed be challenging, the ever-restless Chris told his wife, Danae, "I've built a company, and I need a new challenge." So Chris took up mountain climbing. A few months passed, and though Chris was having the time of his life with his family and practicing his newfound hobby, he was pulled back into the world of business when he received an offer from Gary Donahue of New Zealand's Plus SMS, a former client of his, to serve as their chief executive officer. They practically begged him, Danae Tench would later tell a reporter. The potentially massive income and the possibility to once again live abroad were enticing, sure, but that's not why Chris agreed to come on board. Almost immediately upon being named CEO of Plus SMS, Chris came public with the fact that Donahue had been misleading shareholders. The company was under investigation. Shares had slipped 40%. Chris was brought in to do damage control and bring the company back to its former glory, without a doubt a monumental challenge that he would have been excited to take on. The responsibility of this task, however, would prove to be challenging in a way that he could have never predicted. Chris Tench was pressured by board members to fabricate Plus SMS's performance, he'd later claim, to make the company appear to shareholders and potential shareholders that they'd brought themselves back up from the brink of extinction, a move that Gary Donahue had made prior to Chris coming on board and that had perpetuated the mess that Plus SMS was already in. Chris trudged on, moving his family to an upscale community near Austin called West Lake Hills in 2007, where he would get a U.S. branch of Plus SMS going. Despite the fact that Chris was successfully expanding the company into the Americas, his unwillingness to deceive shareholders, elevate, and liquidate chunks of Plus SMS's stock, his inclination to do the right thing, as Danae later put it to the press, ultimately cost him the job. The company hired a new chairman, who all but immediately became Chris's bitter enemy, and Chris turned in his 6 months' notice for his resignation in September of 2008. Plus, SMS executives flew out to Austin the following month, shut down the company's operations there, and fired Chris. The very month he was let go, Chris filed a lawsuit against Plus SMS, alleging wrongful termination, breach of contract, and defamation. A bitter and contentious court battle ensued, with Chris Tench suing Plus SMS at home in Austin, Texas, and Plus SMS suing him in New Zealand, where the company was based. Chris testified in court, telling U.S. District Judge Lee Yeakel in Austin that prior to his employment with Plus SMS, he had constantly been offered positions in other companies and that, quote, those offers have absolutely disappeared. When all was said and done, at least in the U.S. lawsuit, Chris Tench was awarded $430,000 for his wrongful termination and company assets to which he was owed, and $250,000 in legal fees and interest. A further hearing was set to take place on September 15, 2011. The hearing would determine how and when the money would be released to Chris, but the court was also set to hear his arguments for his request for a temporary restraining order and anti-suit injunction. Chris had also filed this type of request in a New Zealand court, which would prevent Plus SMS from seeking further court action against him. Among the evidence that Chris's attorneys produced was a series of emails that provided proof that Plus SMS executives plotted to terminate both Chris and the company's chief financial officer, Les Coates, and that the company had purposely timed legal actions to interrupt a mountain climbing vacation that Chris had planned. The most alarming email produced, though, was dated September 19, 2008, 8 days after Chris Tench turned in his resignation. The content of the email, despite later claims that the phrase used was a common euphemism for employment termination, could be taken as either horrifyingly, though innocently, prophetic, or downright sinister. It read, "Put a bullet in Les and Chris. Next week, do not pay them as we are doing a full audit of the various companies." Chris Tench had dealt with court battles for months upon months now, and before the upcoming hearing, he desperately needed a break. His wife Danae reported that it wasn't at all unlike Chris to go solo on short getaways, and that's what he did on September 11th, 2011, heading to the coast, Port Aransas, to do some fishing. He made the 200-mile trip and arrived at the Holiday Inn Express on 11th Street there at about 3 p.m., checked in, threw his bags in the room, and headed out to a jetty to throw his line in the water. At 8 p.m., Chris phoned Danae to brag about the fish he had caught, told her that he'd call her the next day to check the final score of his son's first football game of the season, and said he was heading off on foot to grab a burger somewhere. Danae sent a text to her husband at around 11:30 p.m. that night, but got no response, and figured he had called it an evening. The following morning, Monday, September 12, 2011, Danae began to worry Chris hadn't texted her back. She called him, but there was no answer. Danae began a series of calls to her husband every 2 hours from that point on, but still nothing. She contacted the hotel that evening after never having received a response or an answer to her calls. Hotel staff entered Chris's room, where they found his keys, watch, cell phone, and wallet. His Range Rover still sat in the Holiday Inn Express's parking lot. There was no sign of Chris Tench. Danae filed a missing person report with Port Aransas Police. Port Aransas had a population of around 3,500 in 2011, So, needless to say, the resources available to the police department were limited, but a search began right away. The efforts to locate Chris Tench remained futile until 10:20 a.m. on Thursday, September 15th, when a Texas Department of Public Safety chopper discovered his body floating near the shore of the Gulf of Mexico, just outside of San Jose Island. Chris had been shot. The missing person investigation was now a homicide investigation, and detectives had feared for this outcome upon the inspection of Chris's room at the Holiday Inn a few days prior, where they'd found what they were sure was a crime scene. Police told the press that Chris's wounds were not self-inflicted, but they remained tight-lipped on about every other detail of their findings to preserve the integrity of the investigation, they said. The location of the injuries, type of weapon, ammunition, and number of shots will not be released. Since law enforcement released that he'd been shot, and considering the fact that their statement said injuries, plural, it is presumable that Chris suffered multiple gunshot wounds. Investigators suspected that Chris's body was dumped in much deeper water than where he was found, far away from the concentration of piers that surrounded where his body floated. The beach in the direct vicinity to where Chris was discovered by helicopters was combed and scoured. If police found anything there, they haven't slipped up on what. Tips poured in after word of the homicide. Several individuals came forward with reports of Chris Tench sightings. However, evidence supporting the claims eluded investigators. Since it is likely Chris was murdered on the very night he arrived in Port Aransas, law enforcement's attempts at inquiry in bars and restaurants there, with photo in tow, provided few who had witnessed the 43-year-old husband and father of two. They spoke with visitors who had been fishing on the pier where Chris had been so successful on the day he'd arrived, but no clues were gathered. Detectives scrambled to find a fisherman who'd been on the pier fishing near Chris that Sunday evening. They had no description at all to work off, so it is likely that this individual was casually mentioned by Chris to his wife the last time they spoke. The press hounded police for details, but they remained mostly silent. They didn't have any persons of interest that fit. Even if they did, an investigator told a reporter, they didn't have enough evidence to charge anyone. Though this claim by investigators suggests that the police were baffled as to a motive in Chris's slaying, a detective told a local television news reporter that, quote, there is stuff in that hotel room that makes it very strange for the body to be on that island. Police released a written statement to the press on Monday, October 3, 2011, where they explained that they had spent hundreds of hours investigating the case, utilizing all of the various law enforcement agencies' tools and resources. They wouldn't comment on specifics, relaying to the press that the nature of those resources could not be disclosed. The statement did mention that physical evidence was being tested. A further glimpse into police activity came on Monday, November 7, 2011, when Port Aransas Police Chief Scott Burrows told reporters that the investigation was slow-moving, but that the pace was normal in such investigations. Where cases in which no immediate suspects or motives are concerned, he said, the investigations require ample legwork, due diligence, and patience. Chief Burrows was optimistic that an arrest would be made, though, asserting that highly skilled investigators were assigned, but also indicating that sometimes homicide investigations, such as Chris Tench's, are solved by, quote, good old-fashioned luck. Burrows also said that results of forensic testing would be available in the near future, and explaining to the press of the importance of such, Burrows said, DNA is like fingerprints. unique markers and sometimes recovering fingerprints or DNA evidence can lead to or exclude individuals as suspects or witnesses. While the Port Aransas Police Department had two detectives on Chris Tench's case, the Texas Rangers and the FBI became involved not long after court documents regarding Chris's legal battles with Plus SMS made their way into the police file. Joining the witness statements, photos, forensic and medical examiner reports, and phone records that already made up the investigative material. The Travis County Sheriff's Office aided the other agencies in obtaining many of the documents in Austin, where Chris and his family lived. Investigators began looking deeply into the court documents. Most striking to them were emails exchanged between Plus SMS executives, the ones that referred to putting a bullet in Chris Tench. It became known to detectives that Chris's bad blood with Plus SMS had been well documented in the press, particularly overseas in New Zealand, where the company became known as the New Zealand Enron, a U.S. company that was taken down for large-scale conspiracy and fraud, to put it simply. Port Aransas Homicide Sergeant Mike Hannon told a reporter there was some good information on the news about how he blew the whistle on the company on some dirty dealings. Chris Tench reported to what is New Zealand's equivalent to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Plus SMS's unethical practices and deceptions to shareholders, making him many enemies who sat on the board of the company. The bitter legal battle and the emails that were obtained as a result wasn't only court evidence and investigation fodder after Chris's murder. It also had a major impact on the Tench family, causing fear and paranoia in the months leading up to Chris's death. Dinah Welsh, a spokesperson for the Tench family, told the New Zealand Morning Report that Danae and Chris were startled by the emails and that Chris was worried for his family's safety, believing he was being followed. Danae Tench told the Austin American Statesman that Chris had been receiving anonymous threats in the months leading up to his death, too, though she would not go into specifics on them. She told the press that she had expressed concerns to her husband about his trip to the coast, but he attempted to lessen his wife's worry, telling her, "No one is going to follow me to Port Aransas. I really feel like I'm in a nightmare," Danae told the reporter. The law firm representing Plus SMS released a statement and provided that the lawsuits between Chris Tench and his client had nothing to do with Chris's homicide. Investigators met with Plus SMS executives in Dallas, where it was noted that they spoke freely to detectives, and they ultimately decided that there was little to no evidence pointing to their involvement. Port Aransas Homicide Sergeant Mike Hannon blew off the company's role in Chris's murder, telling a reporter, quote, "Countries have different ways and sayings, where we will say give the axe to someone to fire him, and maybe another country will say, my God, they are going to take an axe and kill somebody. We know what that means in America. In New Zealand, put a bullet in them is to fire you." End quote. Tench family spokesperson Dinah Welsh's thoughts on the term were strikingly opposed to law enforcement's, however. She said, quote, "I don't know about you, but I've heard people in anger say, I'm going to kill him or whatever. But I've never heard of somebody, especially an executive, putting something like that in an email and actually hitting send. And then the fact that Chris turns up dead, apparently because of a gunshot wound, you can't help but question and be concerned about the fact that something that was stated has become some kind of prophecy." End quote. We were unable to find telltale proof that the euphemism is indeed a common one used when discussing the termination of an employee in New Zealand. Plus SMS dropped their lawsuit against Chris Tench after his murder and offered their condolences to his family, adding that they would pay the courts the money they owed Chris from the U.S. lawsuit to satisfy the judgment there. I pray that the answer will one day be revealed to us, Danae Tench said of her husband's slaying at his funeral. The somber event, well attended by friends and family, featured music that Chris's son wrote for his father, that played over a screen which featured photos of Chris Tench throughout his life. Port Aransas Homicide Sergeant Mike Hannon told the newspaper there, the South Jetty, in September of 2015, that he and fellow homicide detective Matt Johnson would be looking back over Chris's file, which is said to contain hundreds of pages in its entirety. The truth, however, seems elusive to investigators, and Chris Tench's homicide remains unresolved. Sergeant Hannon suggested in the interview that he was interested in handing the case over to the Sheriff's Association of Texas Cold Case Review Team, but it is unclear if it actually ever was. Sergeant Hannon told the South Jetty reporter, quote, "It's a very strange and unusual homicide case. Whether it's by some lead we get and makes the police department look like a great agency, or someone literally walks in and have enough guilt and lays it out, I don't care how it happens." He added, frustration with the case apparent, that he got the VIP treatment, and we are still here where we are. If you have any information about the homicide of Christopher Tench, please contact the Port Aransas Police Department at 361-749-6241 or Texas Crime Stoppers by calling 713-222-TIPS. That's 713-222-8477. You can remain completely anonymous there. Don't forget to stick around to the end to hear a trailer for the podcast, Moms and Murder. We'd like to take a moment to thank Christina for everything that she does at Gone Cold. Y'all have heard her on the Tiffany Johnson and Taliba Islam episodes, as well as the Jared Chavez case, but she's also working diligently in the background. In fact, our last episode on the murders of the Soon family wouldn't have been possible without her outstanding research and writing. So thank you, Christina. The Port Aransas South Jetty, the Austin American Statesman, the Nacogdoches Daily Sentinel, the New Zealand Herald, and stuff.co.nz were used as sources for this episode. If you'd like to support Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/GoneColdPodcast. There are several varying donation levels to choose from, with perks to go along with each, including ad-free listening at all levels. Donations help us cover the costs of research and production, and we can't thank y'all enough for your support. Another great way to support the show is to leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever else you listen to the show. It helps guide more folks our way. And if you're interested in all things true crime, check out our go-to spot on the web, thetruecrimefiles.com. There you'll find well-presented cases, many unknown or ignored by the media, as well as book reviews, podcast reviews, and guest spots. Thetruecrimefiles.com is an amazing resource for learning about cases you might not be aware of otherwise. Check it out. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Hey guys, it's Melissa
and Mandy
with the Moms and Murder podcast. We're a true crime podcast that's sure to make you laugh without compromising the seriousness of the content.
Despite our name, we aren't just for the moms. Our show is for all the Diet Coke drinking, chicken loving, Dateline watching people in your life. Come for the murder and stay for the witty humor and pop culture references.
And you never know, you may even hear from some of your favorite names in the world of true crime, like Dateline's Josh Mankiewicz.
Do you have a preference on what we call you, Josh Mankiewicz, Manx, Sir Manx-a-Lot?
I don't hear Sir Manx-a-Lot quite as often as I...
I can make it happen for you.
Broken Homicide's Derek Lavasser.
Are you tearing up on me? I saw you waiting.
So beautiful, everything you're saying.
Or even America's sweetheart, Ali Sweeney.
The neighbor suggested that perhaps Kathleen had been attacked by an owl.
The owl theory that Melissa and Ali Sweeney believe.
Again, so judgy.
Check out Moms and Murder anywhere podcasts are found.